From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue to Let the Bible Speak from the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. For some time now, we have been looking at what this chapter teaches about a Christian's response to the gospel. The only proper response that a Christian should make to the gospel is to live a life that is yielded to God. We have looked at the fact that it should be lived in yieldedness to God, in sacrifice to Him, in separation from the world, and in service among the saints in the body of Christ in the local church. This week we're bringing these studies to a close by looking at the fact that we're also called to live a life that is yielded to God as we yield ourselves to be a savor of Christ as we live among sinners. That's where we are this week. I trust you'll stay with us as in a few minutes we return to Romans chapter 12. First, however, we turn to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8 for our daily devotional Bible study for today, The Divine Remedy for Sin. It's speaking of the brazen serpent, and it says, Every one that looketh upon it shall live. The healing of the Israelites who had been bitten by the fiery serpents was according to a divine plan. It was a means of healing that human wisdom would never have contrived. The victims were commanded to look upon a serpent of brass set up on a pole. These instructions for cure were contrary to man's reason, but brought instantaneous life and health to all who obeyed. God's way of saving sinners never fails. Though it is absolutely contrary to the wisdom of the world, the gospel of God alone brings healing to the sin-sick souls of men. Christ Himself shows us in John chapter 3 that this divine plan that we find here in Numbers 21 was a prefiguration of His own cross work. Had He not done so, we might have been quite puzzled over the type. Doubtless we would have thought a brazen serpent an unlikely picture of Christ. However, think carefully. The serpent was a reminder and an emblem of the curse. Through that old serpent, the devil, man sinned and came under the curse. But deliverance comes through Christ's being made a curse for us, as Galatians 3:13 tells us. Thus, there was no flaw in the type. Moses was told specifically to make a serpent of brass, for that metal in Scripture is an emblem of judgment. In coming under the curse, Christ suffered the judgment of a holy God. Yet He bore that judgment unflinchingly, just as brass. The hardest of metals endures the scorching flame. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness to show that the gospel must not be obscured. Christ is to be plainly and clearly set forth. If the gospel be hid, it is, Paul tells us, hid to them that are lost. Let us ensure that we never lose sight of Christ. He is the divinely appointed object of our faith. He Himself says, Look unto Me, and be ye saved. If you're not a Christian, I trust that today you will look away to Christ. For as the old hymn says, There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him who was slain. To Him who was slain on the tree. Our thought for the day comes from the theologian James Denny. The simplest word of faith is the deepest word of theology. Christ died for our sins.
Sing the more again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of thy beauty see, wonderful word of life. Word of life and beauty, teach me faith and truth.
Coming very near to Christmas, and soon after that, the end of this year and the beginning of another. We'd like to mark all of those occasions by offering to you, our listeners, our special Let the Bible Speak 2007 color calendar. Now, we want you to have it because we think you'll enjoy having it. It carries a series of beautiful pictures of Ireland, and I know that wherever I go in the world, people talk about the beauty of Ireland and how much they would love to see it. Well, we'll let you see it at least on the calendar. We think you'll enjoy it. But beyond that, we want you to use it, to be blessed by the scripture text that it sets before you, and then especially to use it to remember this ministry in prayer, because every time you look at it, you will be reminded of Let the Bible Speak and how it seeks to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to many millions of people around the world. We invite your prayer support. If you'd like to have your copy of the 2007 color calendar from Let the Bible Speak, we invite you to write or email or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you want to email us, our emailing address is LTBS@freepres.org. And if you'd like to call us toll free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to send you this lovely color calendar that will keep you, I trust, praying for us throughout 2007.
Thank you.
And now we turn back to Romans chapter 12 to continue thinking of the yielded life as a Christian as he seeks to live as a savor of Christ among sinners. Romans 12, 14 through 21 deals with that subject. We have looked at verse 14 and verse 20, which speak of our relationship with our enemies. We must deal with our enemies as Christ did with his. Now verse 15 teaches us something else. Here we read, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." There's a very simple but far-reaching lesson here. We must not cut ourselves off from the lives and the needs of the people round about us. Now, earlier in this series of studies, I emphasized, and it was so important that I came back another week to emphasize it again, I emphasized the necessity of living in separation from the world. Be not conformed to this world. That is an absolute necessity. We're living in a day when many so-called evangelicals are living in compromise. It's hard to tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. I am what the world calls a Calvinist. That is, I believe in the Reformed faith, the doctrines of the Reformed faith. I believe that that is the truest, most authentic description and exposition of the gospel and the theology of Scripture that I can find on earth. Now, having said that, I say all that to say this. Having said that, I get a lot of flack from people who say they are Reformed because I am also a fundamentalist. I'm a separatist, and I believe in separation from the world, and I believe in personal separation. By separation, I believe in separation from denominations or individual churches that are unfaithful to Christ. Where the gospel's denied, I'm not going to be a member. I'm not going to join hands with the Pope of Rome. I'm not going to join hands with churches that are apostate. I'm not going to be in the World Council of Churches or the National Council of Churches. I'm not even going to be in the National Association of Evangelicals because they are new evangelical compromisers. And I'm not going to do that. I repudiate the so-called evangelicals and Catholics together, which is a movement that produces documents from a think tank. And they are seeking to bridge the gulf between evangelicalism and Catholicism. There is no bridging of that gulf. Rome has repudiated the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is a theory and a theology of sacramentalism and priestcraft that has absolutely no ground at all in Scripture. So I believe in separation there. I also believe in personal separation. I have so many people who want to stand on their two legs and holler and hoot and get on defending their right to drink booze, to go to the movies, to run to the theater, to be in rock music, to introduce rock music into the church. And because I would espouse standards that are against those things, they say I am a legalist. They haven't a clue in the world, of course, what legalism really is. Let me tell you, this age of worldly-minded, compromising Christians is powerless to do anything good for God or for the world. You don't do any good to the world by being like the world. You don't do that at all. There is a clear command not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I believe in separation. But there is a danger among separatists to become isolationist. There is a danger among separated Christians to cut themselves off from the people around about them. I know that Christians should find their fellowship among Christians. I don't think there can be any doubt of that. The Bible makes that clear. We have talked about our operation within the body of Christ, members of one body. That's where we find our fellowship. But though that is true, we must not succumb, as many Christians have done, to thinking it's such a terrible thing that we have actually got to go and rub shoulders with the ungodly. I've talked to many Christians and they want to withdraw. They want to get right out of the rat race. They want to cut off contact with the ungodly and the unclean. Well, certainly cut yourself off from the practices and the principles of the ungodly and the unclean. But you can't cut yourself off from the lives and the needs of men and women round about you. If sinners are ever to hear the gospel, they're going to hear it from Christians. They're not going to hear it from the ungodly. They're not going to hear it from the devil's crowd. They don't hear it from you and me. They're not going to hear it at all. They have needs. We have answers. Does anybody else in the world have an answer to the needs of the unsaved other than God's people? No. We have the answer. Christ is the answer. So, we are told, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. In other words, get involved. Get involved in people. I'm not talking about in movements. I'm not talking about getting into unclean fellowships and organizations and activities. But get involved in the lives of people. God's people are not less human because they're saved. They're more human. And they have a more tender heart, or they ought to have a more tender heart. Rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep. This is true in the church too, of course, but it's true generally in the world. You should be, as a Christian, accessible. You should have a heart that knows genuine sympathy, knowing what it is to reach out to do good, even to those who are round about you without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must not cut ourselves off from the lives and the needs of the people who live around about us. I learned that in my own life as a young fellow. My mother lived next door to a lady who at a time became very bitterly opposed to my mom. We couldn't understand why, because my mom had done nothing but good to her. She seemed to become very bitterly opposed to her. She cut herself off, and she got into really deep trouble. I'll not go into the trouble, but she got into really deep trouble. On a Christmas Eve, she sent to my mom, asked would she go in and see her, and she really needed help. There were Christians who told my mother, that woman doesn't deserve for you to get involved in her life again. She hurt you once, she'll hurt you again. I remember talking to my mom, and I was just a teenager, but I said, Mom, you know, you're the Christian here. If you don't reach out to her, who else will do it? If she can't turn to you, to whom else can she turn? My mother said, and I'll never forget her for it, that's exactly the way I feel, and I feel I'm going to respond. She did, and as a family we sought to respond, and to make that Christmas that was going to be a very, very difficult and unhappy Christmas for that little family, to make it as happy as we could make it. My mother didn't see that lady immediately saved, but I'll tell you what she did see. She saw her become a fast and loyal friend. When my parents reached old age and they had great needs, she was a stalwart, a great friend. Nothing was too difficult or too much for her to do. She never forgot that moment when my mom was willing to get involved in her life. And then the greatest joy of all, when she and some of her family also came to know Christ. And I never forget her coming to my mother's funeral and giving me her testimony and telling me how she had come to know the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God tells us effectively here, don't cut yourself off from the lives and the needs of the people who are round about you. And then in verse 16 he says, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Literally this reads, minding the same thing toward one another, not minding the high things, but being carried away with the humble. Do not become wise in yourselves. That is, do not become wise in your own opinion. In other words, the apostle is saying, we must remember that the best testimony Christians can show to the world is their harmony and their humility. There's an old poem that my wife used to say as a girl, and it was a favorite. People would ask her to say this, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I can't remember the rest of the poem, but I've never forgotten the punchline. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. The world hears Christians talk about love, but then they see Christians living in bitter enmity one toward another. The world hears Christians talk about harmony, and they look at Christian churches, and there's disharmony. Local churches riven by division and bitterness and hatred. Christian going to law with Christian. Then they hear Christians talk about humility, and yet they see them live in pride, minding high things, being wise in their own opinions, wise in themselves. But the Bible says, if you want as Christians to make an impact on the world, then the best testimony you can show is as God's people. And this, of course, is getting back to the local church situation. Of course, it goes beyond that to the wider concept of the true church of Christ. We have got to be in separation from the false church and the false religion. But while we safeguard the gospel, we must, in the harmony and the humility that belongs to Christians, live out a testimony that's going to speak to the ungodly. We must be seen to be minding the same thing toward one another. The world has got to see there's something different about being a Christian. It's got to see there's something different in the assembly of God's people. This is not just another club. It's not just another political or social gathering. This is a gathering of people who are minding the same thing. They're all consumed with that one great thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're all seeking to live according to the gospel. They are carried away with humble things. What a wonderful idea that is. What a wonderful way of speaking that is. God's people carried away with humble things, not with great things. We have received the grace of God. We have received the gift of God. We have received the Christ of God. That should humble our pride as we live in harmony and humility, one with another. In devotion to Christ and in response to his gospel, we will bear the most effective testimony possible toward the unsaved. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony.
it's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.